To Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
My name is Steve. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking, and there are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This morning our speakers are from the Young People in Sobriety group. The Young People in Sobriety meet every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday at 7 p.m. at number 1 Pollen Street in Grey Lynn. Our speakers this morning will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. But first we'll start with something out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. A so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent, and we are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the suffering and memory of and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defence against the first drink. There is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the levelling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for its successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When therefore we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. So our first speaker this morning is Liz. So Liz, would you like to share?
Yep, thanks Steve. My name's Liz and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Liz.
I guess my story begins from about the age of 14 when I started drinking, and I remember I just loved it straight away, basically. It was just you know, a relief just to get out of my own head. And for me, like, drinking was just the biggest escape, and I loved it. I loved the effect that alcohol gave me. And my drinking sort of got a lot heavier when I turned about 16, and I would I'd go to parties and do all that stuff that, you know, normal 16-year-olds do with their friends. But for some reason, I always would take it that much further than my friends, and I would often get myself into trouble and do stupid stuff. And I could never understand, like, how my friends could drink, binge drink, but just not be quite at the level that I was, and just the feeling I would get the next day of, you know, remorse and fear and that sort of impending doom, and I wouldn't want to go to school, and, you know, because of things I'd done and ways that I'd behaved, because, like, when I would drink, I would just change into this different person, and it sort of scared me. My drinking got, you know, it progressed sort of throughout my teenage years and into my early 20s. And I, at school, I was a bright kid and I had a lot going for me. And I always did lots of sports and prefect and stuff like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, alcohol would always come first. And I was just always holding out for that next drink, basically. And that's that was kind of my ultimate escape and my ultimate sort of release that I had in life. And I remember when I turned 18 and I really you know, my drinking went up to another level again, and I was at university, and, you know, like normal first year students are kind of like that anyway, but again, I was a little different, and I was always sort of getting myself into trouble, and I would always have sort of groups of people that I would have to avoid because of things I would do in blackout, or, you know, and, you know, I'd always wake up just hating myself for the way that I would act when I would drink, because it was almost like I was two different people, and I hated that. Like, and I would meet new people when I was drunk, and I would be a certain person then, and, you know, create all these new enemies and just be one person. And then when I was sober, I was someone else, and it was just this real sort of Jekyll and Hyde thing, and I just couldn't escape from it. And, you know, people were really, really starting to comment and, you know, say that I was an alcoholic, but I didn't want to know. And God, I was like 18, 19 years old, and the last place I wanted to go to was AA. So I just kept going and kept drinking and, you know, creating more destruction as I went along. And I remember I was about 21 and I'd moved into a uni hostel, and, you know, over the next sort of 3 years until I came into recovery, I moved flats about 12 times, I think, over sort of 3 or 4 years. And, you know, I always would have the best intentions. You know, I would have try and have like my outsides looking good, and I would try and present well, and I would have this group of friends, and I would try and make, you know, on the outside things look okay, but deep down I was just tormented and crazy and just like could not stop obsessing over alcohol. And people, like, again, I would go into a flat and I would create situations and get myself into trouble and get kicked out or get resentful against everyone and move. And I kept thinking that everywhere I moved to, you know, things would be different this time, and it never was. You know, I would always just take me with me, and, you know, just that crazy obsession. And I never knew, like, and I think something else I did was I just obsessed about being able to one day drink like a normal person. And I never, you know, and I really just thought that someday I'd be able to get over this thing and stop needing to self-medicate. And for about the last 3 years of my drinking, I started drinking in the morning, and I would drink before I went to university, and I'd have like about, you know, half a bottle of vodka or something like that. And by that time, my tolerance had gone up quite a lot. And, I needed more to get the same effect. And, you know, I couldn't handle doing anything straight. I couldn't go to class straight. I couldn't go to work straight. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go to the mall or write an email or do anything. I needed to drink to do everything. And, you know, I would basically, yeah, like my ideal thing was just being on alcohol or something else all day, every day. That's the state that I just wanted to live in, and I was comfortable with it. I could deal with life being like that. And, you know, whenever, I also felt that no one could bother me. You know, whenever I got myself in a situation, I could just drink to kind of get over it and feel better. And so anyway, I just got to the point where I couldn't handle it anymore. I was 24, and I'd lost my driver's license, and things just were not changing, and I just slowly, slowly lost the person that I used to be. And, you know, out of absolute desperation and basically nowhere else to go, I came into AA, and I didn't want to come into AA, and I didn't want to be, you know, named an alcoholic or anything like that, but I really didn't have a choice. And, you know, like, early recovery was tough, but it was cool because I had like a group of people around me and young people in my home group, young people in sobriety that got sober young, and they got it and they got me, and that was the most freeing thing ever. And it was a relief to finally just, you know, finally just surrender, I suppose. And, you know, I've been sober for over 4 years now, and I have, like, it sounds cheesy, but my life is amazing. Like, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams, and it's only because of coming to AA and doing the 12 steps and having a sponsor and doing all that suggested stuff. You know, going to meetings is so important for a person like me, or for any alcoholic, and just having that support. And, you know, if you're young and you want to come into recovery, it might sound really boring and horrible, but it's, you know, there is a life out there for us, for people in their teen years or in their 20s that get sober. And, you know, like, I can do anything I want, I just can't drink. And I can still go dancing and club, you know, I, like, maybe not in the early days, but it just, it's not limiting. If anything, it's given me, it's opened my world up massively, you know, like the things I can do now I would never have dreamed of being able to do when I was drinking. And just, you know, and also once I put down the alcohol, I didn't know how to live. Like, I didn't know how to function straight. And Alcoholics Anonymous and the book and the steps, the 12 steps and stuff like that, and having a sponsor has showed me how to live sober. And, you know, that's been bigger and better than I could ever imagined. You know, like having meetings to go to and having like-minded people around me. And it's just, it's cool. And I'm so grateful because, you know, like really, realistically, my drinking was leading me to, like, jails, institutions or death, you know, and it's a common thing that you always hear in meetings, but... like, that would have been me if I didn't come into AA. And, you know, now I can be a sober young woman and just enjoy life and be grateful and be present. And, yeah, I'm grateful. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Liz.
Thanks, Liz.
Now, this is 104.6 Planet FM, and you're with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclosed in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. And we stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. And we claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he was sought. Jen, would you like to share?
Sure, thanks, Dave. My name's Jen and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Really awesome to be here today, and thanks, Liz, for your share. I really related to a lot that you had to say, and, you know, my story is very similar. My drinking took off at a pretty young age, and I also dabbled with drugs and, you know, got myself into really unsafe situations at such young ages, you know, and just led a really scary life. I moved out of home when I was 16 and started on my journey, and that was filled with lots of drinking, lots of partying, lots of drug taking, and it was great. I loved it. I loved partying, and all my friends around me were the same. We all hardly worked, and you know, yeah, that's we partied for a living, and it was awesome. And then life started getting really bad. People around me started losing the plot, getting kicked out of flats and not having anywhere to live and living out of hotels and motels and, you know, just those sorts of deluded things that happened in my, you know, early using days. But my alcoholism didn't really kick off until I was about 21. And when I mean kick off, I mean drinking consistently throughout the week. And at the age of 25, I was drinking every day. And that was really scary, you know. I was brought up in an alcoholic home at a young age. And then by about the age of 6, my mother went into recovery. She's also a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I knew about AA when I was 25, and life was bad, and I knew that I had a drinking problem. So I had been to AA meetings to support her, and I had seen the Serenity Prayer around the house, and my stepfather was also in recovery. So I knew quite a bit about the 12-step program. So that was the last place that I wanted to go. I didn't want to come to AA because I knew for me that meant, you know, that I couldn't drink, and I was really scared of that. So that's probably why it took me a little bit longer than it should have to come into AA, because, you know, I was scared. But once I surrendered, when life got bad enough, you know, it would be the 2-3 o'clock mornings, waking up, looking in that mirror and just seeing a shell. You know, just the emptiness that I felt. I would look in the mirror, glassy eyes, and just say, "Who, you know, who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore." And, you know, that was really scary. And that happened a lot, you know. And also, you know, after those moments, going to bed and crying myself to sleep and just hoping that I wouldn't wake up the next day, you know. And my partner at the time, he was aware of my drinking and he didn't like it. And that started on this, you know, the lying, the hiding, the sneaking, the exhausting little rituals that I have to go through every day to try and, you know, not be hassled for my drinking. And it got to the point, you know, that he was really concerned, and people around me were concerned, and I was concerned, but I didn't want to stop drinking. And when, you know, life got bad enough, I knew where to turn. Another alcoholic came to my house one morning and said, "Jen, do you want to go to a meeting?" And I looked at her and I thought, oh, I don't really want to go, but and I said yes. And that night I got to my first meeting and I haven't picked up a drink since. You know, I sat in that first meeting. I was scared. I think I cried the whole way through. I shook like a leaf. But whatever it was different to when I had gone to support, you know, family's AA birthdays and been to other meetings, you know, in support of my family. This time I was actually sitting on a seat for myself, and something came over me, and all I can describe that feeling was hope. It was a little bit of hope in that first meeting that maybe this is the right thing for me. Maybe I can get sober and maybe I can live without alcohol. And so I went to 90 meetings, 90 plus meetings in 90 days, and I got the message. I got a sponsor. I started working the steps very early on, within my first 30 days. And, you know, I got a home group and started to get active in the program, and life started getting better, you know. It really did. It was a challenge at the beginning. Liz shared a little bit about, you know, going out and partying, and that was something that I couldn't do in the early days. It was just too hard, and I made that clear to my friends and my family around me that I couldn't do those sorts of things just yet because I just wasn't ready, you know, and I really put in strong boundaries around that stuff because I knew it was dangerous and I was scared and, you know, it was a hard time, you know, in those early days. I remember crying myself to sleep too and rocking in bed going, oh my God, I just want a freaking drink, you know. And they were really, really tough times, but I got through them, you know, with the power of sponsorship and holding that big book next to me. You know, something happened and I don't have any words for that, but all I know is that the universe was looking after me and AA is the right place for me today. You know, I have a beautiful, beautiful relationship with this program, and a lot of that has to do with the fellowship and getting a part of, being a part of the fellowship. So for me, that means going to meetings and going to camps, you know. Camps have been a huge part of my sobriety and they've kept me sober. They have introduced me to a world of support, fun, and I just get so much out of them. And, you know, so they're a big part of my sobriety. And also, you know, having a really good relationship with my sponsor and keeping in contact with other people in recovery that are also like myself or different, or, you know, just being able to help others has been really important. Scary, but important in my recovery as well, you know. And if there's anyone out there listening, you know, that you're struggling or you think you might have a problem or you know you've got a problem, you know, I suggest that you, you know, have a look on the website, AA website, and check out a meeting. You know, you've got nothing to lose. I surely didn't. I'd pretty much lost myself. Yeah, and so you got nothing to lose, and it's a program for living. And I certainly didn't think that I could live without alcohol, and I know today for sure that I can. So I'm a very, very grateful alcoholic, and thanks, guys, for letting me share.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Jen.
This is Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. Megan, would you like to share?
Oh, thanks, Steve. My name's Megan and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Megan.
And thank you for asking me to share, Steve. It's nice to be back here again with you guys this morning. Gosh, I've really enjoyed the sharing. It's pushed a lot of buttons for me in terms of just reminds me what I am, because I'm so mindful that I have a disease that will take me to a place of denial, that will also, I guess what I forget is that I forget. And alcoholism is, I've learnt that alcoholism is a disease, and I have that. I have this disease of alcoholism, and gosh, yeah, I need to come and I need to be in places like this, and I need to come and be with people like you so I can remember what I have. And it's as simple as that. I guess for me, my story is no different from anybody else's. Well, it is a little bit different. I guess there's some ins and outs that'll be different, but the places that I end up is probably really similar to other people's. When I first came into the rooms of AA, my life was extremely unmanageable, and I didn't know what the solution was. I didn't actually really know what the problem was. And what I've learned since I've come here is that when I have one drink, I can't stop. I've seen lots of what I perceive as normal drinkers through my drinking career, and I've never been a normal drinker. I've seen people that can have just one or two and then they go, oh right, it's time to go home now. You know, I have one or two or three or four and I'm just warming up, and I don't have an off switch. When I have one or two, I keep going until I have a spree, and the end result I can never ever predict. Today, for me, coming into AA, I've had to do some suggested things, and the suggested things have been to attend as many meetings as possible, to put as much effort into my recovery as I did my drinking, to get a sponsor and ask someone to help me, be it the sponsor or someone to help me through the steps. There's 12 steps in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're there for a reason, to be worked through. Also, part of staying sober for me has been doing service in AA, and part of what they say is that we have to give this away to keep it, and giving it away to keep it is so that I remember what I am. You know, I was told when I first came in that the newcomer is the most important person, because I forget. I haven't had a drink now for just over 17 years, and you know, I've done that one day at a time, and with the support of meetings and building relationships in AA and giving this away to keep it, carrying the message to the new suffering alcoholic that still comes in. I guess for me, the benefits of me getting sober, if you'd have told me that I would experience still life on life's terms and that I would be able to work my way through those things, I couldn't have imagined that I would ever be able to live life on life's terms and be able to, well, just be able to live like a sensible person, because I so didn't do that before. And I wasn't a helpful member of my community. And today, you know, I feel like I contribute in a really helpful way. I feel like I'm honest in my relationships with myself. I'm a better mum. You know, I've got married in sobriety, and I've got a wonderful husband who's also in recovery. And the benefits and the blessings that we have had in my life, and you know what, you know, I was told when I came here that this is a family disease, and many people in my family appear to be afflicted by this disease, but we've also been, we've also a family that have had multiple recoveries, and you know, my mate over here is nodding her head, and you know, both of us have had family members also that have been afflicted and also have had the blessing of being able to get recovery. So I'm just really grateful. I'm grateful, and if there's anyone out there and who is absolutely getting their butt whipped by alcohol and the wreckage that it creates, my encouragement to you is to just to reach out and come and get the solution. Kia ora.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
This brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you have a problem with alcohol and you want help, you can phone 0800 AA Works, which will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. There are over 100 AA meetings each week within the Greater Auckland area. For more information, log on to aa.org.nz. We'll be back next Sunday, 10:45, with our meeting. And would you like to help me close with a serenity prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back. It works if you work at it.
You can hear this program again at planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting on air.
Your language on planetaudio.org.nz.
Auckland Council has a goal of zero waste to landfill by 2040. That means recycling, composting, reusing, and repurposing materials. Here's another zero waste tip on Planet FM. Think before you buy. See if there's a second-hand option available that would suit your needs. Make meal plans and stick to shopping lists. The advice is avoid, reduce, repair, reuse, recycle in that order. Always remember, every small action makes a difference. A total of 147,000 tons was saved from landfill services in 2024. Find out all the info at wastenothing.co.nz.
Hello, kia ora, my friend. I'm Susie Cato, inviting you to join me for New Zealand's favourite kids show on Planet FM. It's called Susie and Friends, and there's songs, stories and prizes, jokes, reviews, birthdays and shout-outs. And kids just like you. Go to susie.co.nz for more information. I'd love you to be a friend. Just listen to the radio Sunday afternoons at 3:15 for Susie and Friends on Planet FM 104.6. Susie and Friends.